The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I'm going to share with us on what I titled Wise Choices. Wise Choices. It's a wisdom class. Okay, like I told you. I think it's okay. It's okay. It's a wisdom class. So I'm going to share with us what I titled Wise Choices. You see, man, this is a guy's meeting, a man's meeting, but I understand that a couple of ladies too who have tuned into this meeting, and it's okay. Okay, the things you are going to share will still benefit you. However, the examples that I'm going to be using will benefit, will be directed towards the men. So you could as well just use it and apply it in your own life, and it will help you. Amen. So wise choices. Please do us a favor and share this on your on Facebook. Share this link on Facebook. Okay. Share the MixLR link, any of the links. Let people tune in and get blessed. You see, man is a product of his choices in life. You're a product of your choices in life. You are where you are today, whether you know it or not, because of the choices you made yesterday. And where you will be tomorrow will be as a result of the choices you are making today. And so, life is very predictable. I've always said that. Life is very, very predictable. When I look at the choices you're making today, I can tell where you will be tomorrow. It's as simple as that. When I look at the choices you are making today, I can tell how far, bring them a little, I can tell how far you will go in your walk, hallelujah, in your walk with God. Glory to God. In your walk with God and in life generally. So there are choices that you must make. And when you make those choices, it becomes an indication that you are a man or a woman of wisdom. That you're a man of wisdom. So I call it wise choices. I'll talk about three things. Okay. First of all, I'll talk to you about three very important things you must discover or you must find and possess as a human being, as a man. Secondly, I will talk about three important people you need in your life. And thirdly, I will talk about three important commitments you must make. So again, first of all, three important things you must find and possess in life. Secondly, I'll talk about three important people you need in life. And thirdly, I'll talk about three important commitments that you must make. Of course, on the three very important things that you must find and you must possess, the top of the list is salvation. You see, every man must be saved. Every man must be saved. If you find everything on earth, but you've not found salvation in Christ Jesus, life has not started. As a matter of fact, I've explained to us a couple of times that the reason God created man is for salvation. God created you so that you could be saved. It's as simple as that. You know, the Bible will talk about salvation in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Look at verse 10. But it's now made manifest. So it tells us that there is a purpose that was given us in Christ. God has a purpose. And that purpose, as we learn, is the salvation of man. NLT will say, God saved us, verse 9, and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time. So the plan of God, even before time began, is that man will be saved. Salvation is God's plan. So when people begin to talk about purpose, what is your purpose in life? I tell people, if you are not yet saved, you've not stepped into purpose yet. I say it again. If you are not yet saved, you have not stepped into purpose yet. So as a believer, as a human being, if you have not found salvation, if you have not found Jesus, if you have not found Jesus as a savior, life has not started. And I don't want to take chances. Perhaps there is someone that is following this teaching today who is not yet saved, who has not made Jesus his Lord and Savior. I tell you, it's a very simple thing that you can do. It's as simple as knowing that Jesus died for your sins. He paid for your sins. the death he died on the cross was for your sins so that you can be forgiven. And so if you accept the price he paid, you become saved. What you have done is that you've accepted the price he paid, and that price he paid it for you. You've accepted his life. So today you can live because he died. That is salvation. What it means is that you've accepted the forgiveness that is found in him. So today you can stand and say, my sins are forgiven. And they say, why? You say, because Jesus died. Today you can say, I'm righteous in Christ. And they say, why? You say, because Jesus died for me and was raised again for my sake. So salvation is the major reason God created you. And so if you are not yet saved, you have not started living. Yeah. If you are not yet saved, you have not started living. You know, Jesus, God told Adam, he said, the day you eat of this fruit, you are going to die. And then Adam ate that fruit. But we did not see Adam die physically. Okay? But he died spiritually. And so, if you have not been resurrected from that death that Adam died, you are just living on earth, but you are not actually living. Well, let me put it another way. You are just existing, you are not living. So salvation becomes the primary thing that you must find as a man. As a man, the first thing you must find as a man is that you must find salvation. You must find Jesus. He must become your savior, not just your savior. He must become your Lord too. I mean, where you find Jesus and he becomes your Lord and he becomes your savior. So this is the eternal purpose of God. The second thing I want you to find, or you must find as a man for your life to begin to count, is that you must find something to live for and something to die for. I say it again. You must find something to live for and something to die for. And I can make it very simple for you to see that that in which you must live and die for is not far-fetched. It is the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've tried explaining to people, you see, there is nothing else that is worth living and dying for. Not even love. Not even love. Nothing else is worth living and dying for. Okay? Because when you live for love and you die for love, I can tell you, without hurting you so much, that the possibility is that the person that you died for will possibly remarry again. Yeah. And that's the truth. He's going to marry another person. Glory to God. And that shouldn't hurt you. Okay? That shouldn't hurt you. You see, but nothing is worth living for. Nothing is worth dying for. If there isn't worth living and dying for, it is the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible said he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15. He died that those who live should not longer live for themselves. So the reason Jesus died is so that you begin to live for him. And so if you've not found the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ as something to live for and as something to die for, you've not started living. Life has not started counting for you. Your life begins to count when you find something, and that's the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, something to live and die for. And somebody will say, well, why are you talking about ministry? I'm not a pastor. I'm just a church member. Ministry is not for pastors. Ministry is for believers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, he says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. All things have passed away. He said, behold, all things have become new. But he didn't stop there. In verse 18, he said, all things of God, who has reconciled to himself, has committed to us. So who is the us that something was committed to? The people that were reconciled to God. What was committed to them? Has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. And so the day you got saved, you received the ministry. I say this all the time. And that ministry, listen to me, that ministry is not side hustle. That ministry is supposed to be your entire life. Whether you think you have a calling or not, don't ever do ministry as a side hustle. It's, I'm a banker, I'm a comedian, I'm a movie producer, then I'm also a believer. Mm-mm. You are first of all a believer and a minister of our Lord Jesus Christ before you are every other thing. You say why? Because the purpose of an object or of a gadget can only be found by asking the person that produced the gadget. And the guy that produced you said he produced so that you can serve him. And so you cannot afford to do ministry as a side hustle. You see, I tell you something, guy. Even if you have all the money in the world, but you've not yet started serving Jesus, you like, I've not started counting in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have not started living. The reason he died and rose again, the reason he created you, is so that you can burn for him in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so wherever you are, you can say to yourself, I have found something to live for. I have found something to die for. That thing is not business. It's not a woman. It's not money. It is the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, if you are listening to me and you are serving Jesus, you are doing ministry, you are on course, you are living. Because you know, I tell you guys, when we are done on earth, everything we have done, all our certificates, all the money we've made, we're going to leave them here on earth. Only one thing will begin to count after we live and die, and that is what we did for Jesus. So ask me what you need. The second thing, and the second most important thing you need to find, you must find something to live for and something to die for. Something to live for and something to die for. You know, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul will say, I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. Yes, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As simple as that. You know, later in another part of the Bible, Paul will say, for me to live is Christ. He said, and to die is gain. You must come to a point where your life begins to count in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have been doing that, you are doing well. If you are not yet doing that, or if you are slowing down, you know, I see people that think they can stop ministry or stop their commitment to church. They want to go and make money or get other things. Half of the time, they don't get the money. Even if they get the money, they've lost the true satisfaction in life. Because true satisfaction comes from ministry. So three important things that you must find. Number one, you must find salvation. Number two, you must find something to live for and something to die for. And that thing is nothing else but ministry. It's nothing else but ministry. It's nothing else but ministry. And I sense the Lord saying I should explain this. You see, ministry is not what people think it is. What is ministry? You know, somebody told me, you know, I shared this all the time. The person said, I don't want to do ministry. You see, I don't want to do ministry. I just want to be a church person, committed to church, coming to church, reading my Bible, praying, going for evangelism, and coming back. I said, that's perfect, and that is ministry. Ministry is serving the Lord at whatever capacity. There's no big word about ministry. The word ministry means to serve. So it means to serve the Lord at whatever capacity that he wants you to serve him. If he wants you to just go out on the street and preach the gospel, and you're doing that, that is ministry. If what you're doing is serving in church, ushering in church, singing in the choir, working in the church, and yet you are preaching the gospel, that's ministry. In fact, let me make ministry simple for you. There are three very important parts when we talk about ministry. One is the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody must do this one. Everybody. So what does that mean? That's evangelism, preaching the gospel. You don't need to have a calling to do it. Sharing the gospel with someone. The second important part when we talk about ministry is serving the saints in the church. Then the third important part is now calling, where the Lord says, oh, I've called you to be a pastor, I've called you to be an apostle. Even if you don't have that one, it's fine. But the first two, preaching the gospel to everybody, and secondly, serving the saints in the church, this is ministry. And if you are doing this, I tell you, you are serving the Lord. You are serving the Lord. And that is what you must find, and it is worth living and dying for. You know, I tell my people in church here all the time, you know, I said, if you are made the president of the country, that's an honorable office. But I know you may not, if you're hearing this for the first time, it's going to shake you up a little. But you see, if you have a responsibility in church to wash toilets, that washing of toilets becomes more honorable than serving as the president. And you say, what? And that is true. The reason is because what makes a position honorable is who you are serving. If you are a PA, it's something people can laugh at you for. Say, what are you, a PA? Say, this one, ordinary PA. But when you are the PA to the president, the PA suddenly becomes a very big office because of the man you are serving. Friends, we are serving Jesus. And whatever we do in his house is an honorable thing. And we must commit our lives to live and to die for that purpose. And so whenever you are, you can say to yourself, I live for Jesus. I live for Jesus. Every day I live for Jesus. So we must live and die for the purpose that he lived and died. I said again, we must live and die for the purpose he lived and died. Death is not something the Lord wants for believers. But see, there is one thing. I told people, I'm not going to die by accident. I'm not going to die carelessly. The only death I'm permitted to have, there are two types of death I'm permitted to die. One is I'm done with life, and I say, okay, now I'm going. The second one is to die for the gospel. If I die for the gospel, I died well. It's a very good way to die.
It's a very good way to die. To know that you died for a great cause. People champion revolutions in different nations and they die in the process and are called heroes. The people that died during the ENSAS protest, okay, with great respect to whatever they did, they are called heroes. And they are heroes. Well, beautiful thing they did. But I tell you, nothing is more honorable than to die in the cause of our Lord Jesus, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So you must find something to live and to die for. That doesn't mean you must go and kill yourself, but you must serve Jesus in a way that even if he demands your life, you don't feel bad giving it. Hallelujah. Even if he demands your life. And before we even get to talking about life, sometimes he can demand more. He can demand your money. He can demand your time. He can demand your energy. Find something to live for and something to die for. Second thing you must find, ministry. The third thing that you must find as a young man is that you must find clear direction for your life. I ask people a question, where are you going to? Now, this is not just about me. This is not a ministry. We've handled ministry. But then, outside ministry, there are some guys that I can't keep around me. You see people who really don't know what they want out of life. When I was in final year, I called one or two of my friends in class. I said, okay, after school, what next? I tell you, 80% of people did not know. Some will say, I will just get home and rest first. So where are you headed in life? Today, Okrika is selling markets, you are there. Crypto is moving, you are there. Forex is moving, you are there. The next day, say transport business, you are there. Where are you going to? And in case you are like that and you want to marry someone that has sense, she may not agree. She wants to know what you are doing with your life. Tomorrow there's an opportunity somewhere. I'm not saying you can have multiple sources of income, but you must have what you want out of life. Where are you going to? I tell my ladies, when you meet a man, always ask, where are you going to? Where are you going to? Where are you going to? What are you doing with your life? Is it just anywhere and away? Is it just the one that is paying? And you better don't live your life by anywhere and away as a young man. Because one of the things that, don't learn this and never forget it, a young man. One of the things that makes you command respect is that you have a clear direction. You see, before any woman respects you very well, the person should be able to know that you are very, very clear on where you are going to in life. Most women will not have respect for you if you don't even know where you are going to. You know, today they're talking to you, you're a business tycoon. The next day they're talking to you, you don't even know what you want. So where are you going? Have you found what your direction in life? Have you found your direction in life? Are you just looking for any opportunity? And if you're looking for any opportunity, you're going to make a lot of mistakes because you will grow to find out. Now, many things we call opportunities are not opportunities. Not all open doors are opportunities. Some open doors are death traps. Yeah. And so if you are driven and moved by opportunities and not by what you should be moved by, before you know, you've made a lot of mistakes in life. So why are you going to? And this must be known clearly. And I tell you, the easiest way to find where you are going to is in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer, that is the easiest place you can find where you are headed in life. Place of prayer. Hallelujah. Other people, from the time I was in third year, I already knew what the next 10 years would be like. I knew. I had already prayed. I didn't spend 1 second after I left school thinking of what to do with my life. I knew what to do with my life. I knew it. I didn't spend 1 second taking a look at what next. You now go back to your parents' house and then you stay 2 months, 3 months, 1 month. Say, what next? Say, well, I'm just looking for what is going on. What has God showed you? You are not an unbeliever. Begin to pray and begin to ask the Lord, what is happening? What is the direction? What do you have for me? Apart from the fact that he's going to show you what to do in the ministry, he's also going to show you what to do with your life because he's also interested in your life. And let me say this to you, to young men that are looking for a relationship. You see, it is finding what you have to do with your life that will even help you find the right spouse. Because when you don't have a direction in life, you don't even know who the girl should be. Because the girl is supposed to come and compliment you in where you are going to. But when you don't even know where you are going to, you don't even know who the girl should be. Hallelujah. And so, where are you going to in life? A very important question. Where are you going to in life? He says, so how do I know? Pray. I say it again. How do I know? Pray. Take your time and pray. Ask the Lord, talk to the Lord. He will tell you. Ask the Lord, talk to him. He will show you. He will show you where you are going to. He will show you where you must be. He will show you what you must do. So you must be able to have direction. So three things you must find. You must find salvation for your soul. You must find ministry as something to live and something to die for. You must find direction for your life. And I normally tell you, find it early. I had a man of God say, and he blessed me so much. He said he has found out that people that started early in life, they always make it early. People that started life early, they always make it early. So young man, find out where you are going to in life and start early. The earlier you start, the better. So where are you going to in life? Find it. Find it. And I normally tell people, find it and step into it already. Find it and step into it already. You see, let me say this to you. Not even NYSC should be qualified to take you away from what God has shown you, what you are doing. You know, I see people, you know you are going to be a business person. Maybe you've prayed, you want to start selling cars. You want to start selling shoes. And you start selling the shoes, you start selling the cars and all that. And then NYSC comes and you fold up your business and you go for service. And then you want to, you see, when you're coming back, you're coming back to start afresh. I won't say much about that. You need personal guidance on that. If you want, you can meet anybody you want to meet one-on-one. But you see, find what you're doing in life and start early. Even if you're a student listening to me, find where you are going to in life and start traveling in that direction. This will even begin to help you as to how you live your life, the books you should be reading now. You see, when I was in school, I already knew I was going to be a pastor. Throughout my third year, fourth year, I already knew. And so I read over 100 books on the pastoral ministry. Yeah. And I was reading every book I could lay my hands on. I already knew I was going to. So where are you going to? Where are you going to? It will affect the kind of friends you keep. It will affect the kind of books you read. You see, the Lord has shown you are going to own a conglomerate of businesses. It's time to go for books, go for stuff, and begin to read it. Find out where you're going to in life very early. And begin to travel in that direction. Glory to God. Find that very early and begin to travel in that direction. And this will help you. So that's for three important things you must find and possess early in life. Secondly, I will talk about three important people you need in your life. First of all, every man needs a father figure. Every man needs a father figure. From biological father to spiritual fatherhood. And the truth of the matter is that men need these things more than they even know they do. You know, I said this, some of you that attended a man-up meeting, you must have heard me say this a couple of times. You need a father figure in your life. You see, if you look at people who don't have anybody talking to them, there are two most dangerous people, or the most dangerous persons you must not be. Don't be someone that nobody is talking to. You are an accident waiting to happen. Secondly, don't be someone that everybody and anybody is talking to. You're a madman. You know, a simple definition of a madman is a man that has many voices in his head at the same time. Many things are talking. Something is telling him you can jump the gutter. Other things are telling him you can cross me road. Something is telling him the dustbin is your palace. Everything is talking to him at the same time. That's a madman right there. It's not hard to see. So don't be someone that has nobody talking to you. And don't be someone that has everybody talking to you. You see, it's because of lack of father figures. That's why people take counsel from Facebook, take counsel from social media. They come say, admin, hide my identity. I am in a relationship. The girl slapped me. What should I do? And then over 10,000 people are advising you. You see, if I'm young, I will leave the house. Another person will say, you're a fool, you're an idiot. A woman slapped you and you left her. You know, you need a father figure. You know, the Bible tells us something. Hallelujah. In the book of Proverbs, I believe chapter 11 and verse 14, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. NLT said, without wise leadership, a nation fails. Amplified said, where no wise guidance is, the people fall. You need guidance, wise guidance. And that's why I can tell you, friend, if you are a man following this, no matter how much you think you have, and you've not chosen a father figure apart from biological fatherhood. If you have a biological father, maximize it very well. And let me even slow down to talk about that. If you have a father, biological father, it doesn't matter how useless you think he is, Don't quarrel with him. Don't fight him. Make peace with him and learn from him. If there is nothing to learn, learn from his mistakes, because he will teach you from that. But then, apart from biological fatherhood, find someone, a spiritual father. That's why you must belong to a church. And when you belong to a church, don't belong to a church like a member. Belong to a church like a son. Be there to be properly fathered. Properly fathered. They don't say this to guys enough. Because you go to the church, when a man of God says, I have sons and daughters, he has 200 daughters, he has 30 sons. Why? Because men don't think they need fathering. Men don't think they need fathering. What they don't is that they need the fathering more than many other persons, more than even more than the women. And I can tell you why. Pay attention. The Bible said the head of every woman is the man. He said the head of the man is God. What it means is the man in a home, you see, there is nobody above him. He is the oga kwata kwata. And every time you are the oga kwata kwata, you need somebody else to be talking to you. I'm a lead pastor, and I can tell you, I had to willingly submit myself to a father figure that can talk to me. Because if you are somewhere where nobody can control you, nobody can advise you, nobody can talk to you, you are in a very dangerous place. And I don't want to be there. And please don't be in that dangerous place. And so you must have someone that can talk to you. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bible said, without counsel, and this blessed me this afternoon when I was looking at it again. He said, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. NLT says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Plans go wrong. Hallelujah. Amplified said, where there is no counsel, purposes are frustrated. That's why you can see a man have many great visions, great ideas in his head, all of them crash. There is nobody there to talk to him. There's nobody there to put him right. So you need a father figure in your life. You need a father figure in your life. A father you must value and protect. And when I mean get a father figure, I'm not saying get a perfect person. You are never going to get a perfect father. There is nobody like that. If you're following me as a spiritual father and you think you're following pastor because pastor is perfect, newsflash, I'm not. One bit. If you know me, I'm not perfect one bit. And I'm not even promise you that I'll be in the next couple of years. Hallelujah. We are not talking about people that are perfect. We are talking about people that are real, that have had experiences that God has placed over you that will help you get to where you are going to. That way, they will teach you both with their mistakes and with their successes. With their mistakes and with their successes. You need a father figure that will put you right. And I tell you to be available for that training. Be available for it. And you see, you don't need a father figure until you blow. You need a father figure all the days of your life. All days of your life. You see, if I look at leadership, even in this country, a lot of our leaders in the political sphere are not doing well, and sometimes you can vow and swear that nobody is talking to them. They become governors, and then they raise special advisors who are answering to them. Special advisors that are on their payroll. How can someone on your payroll advise you? What will he tell you? He can't confront you in the first and say you are doing wrong because you pay him. I wish those people have somebody above them who can look them in the face and say, sir, you are wrong. Don't execute this project. You are doing wrong. We need that. In fact, the higher you climb in life, the more you need a father figure. You need a voice of wisdom, a voice of correction, a voice of instruction that will stop you and that will lead you when you are about to make any decision in life. So I said you need a father figure. Every man. And it's not too late to start. You are in a church. If the Lord has led you to stay there, you know that there is something about pastors. The pastoral office is that, Bible describes it as that of a shepherd. A shepherd has an ability to guide. And it doesn't matter, if once God has led you to that church, it doesn't matter whether the pastor is wide, is big or small. God has put wisdom in him to father you. If he cannot father you, don't be in the church. Be in a place where the pastor can father you. And submit yourself to that fathering. It will keep you safe. And saying, I'm speaking from experience. I followed my spiritual father from a distance for a very long time for reasons I will talk about later. I was very skeptical about committing to anybody because I've had a lot of things in this space, you know. I was very skeptical. I followed from a distance. I learned. But I tell you, things became different when I began to follow closely and we had a working relationship. Things became different. People that are fathered When they act, you know. When they talk, you know. They can't do anything. They can't just act anyhow. Hallelujah. Well, you know, sometimes when I see people, guys or even ladies, you find them on Facebook acting anyhow, I can swear to you that this one has no fathering. You know, sometimes when I see a lady, you know, this is a guy's meeting now, just his ladies. You see a lady come on Facebook and then she dresses anyhow. Sometimes I'm tempted to type on the comment section, "Who is your father and where is he?" It almost shows that the girl has no voice of correction. And men are like that too. Many times you see a man misbehave, you see a man acting anyhow. Sometimes the foolish spendings, you see someone gets to the club and in one night he has burnt 3 million, and they're hailing him, they're singing Dorime for him. He has no fathering. If he has proper fathering, he cannot do it. He can't do it. If he has close fathering, the first night he tries it will be the last night he will ever try it, because nobody can. But you see, we want to live a life where nobody can tell us what to do. Nobody can tell us what to do. And that's why you keep making mistakes. 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 Show me a man that beats his wife every day, I will show you a man that has no proper fathering. When there is a father figure in your life that you are accountable to, you hit your wife once and he finds out, you are gone. You won't do it a second time. And so these things keep us safe. It keeps us safe. You know, I'm so sure. I'm not going to derail from the ministry tomorrow and start preaching materialism and start saying, "Touch my shoe and you will prosper." You know, apart from God telling me in the Bible, I have a father that if he hears it, he will call me on phone. So what did I hear that you preached? That is a place of safety. So three important persons you must find in your life. You know, I heard a man of God share this story. He talked about when he wanted to get married. He said he had a lot of women in his life. He was a man of God, a lead pastor, a set man. He had a lot of women. He said he had 7, actually. He wasn't dating them, but all of them were on his list. He was considering any of them. And so he wrote 7 of them and began to cancel the name. He was just checking, canceling the name. And he was remaining 2 people. These 2 people were the 2 left on the list. The other one, of course, that's the one he's married to now. Very committed to his church, growing, doing whatever. The other one, well, was the one he had more feelings for. How do you get the point? But that one told him plainly, "You have your church, I have my own church. Praise God, though. I'm not going to be in your church. It's until I marry you." If I told him, "You are the one that called. He didn't call both of us. And he felt, wow, that makes sense. She again even told him, "I'm not planning to live in Nigeria. The Lord called you in Nigeria. I want to travel to France to do whatever." The man said, "Oh, thank God you can speak French. You'll be translating my books to French." You can hear foolishness, but that's the power of emotions. And so what he just did was he took the 2 of them, and the 2 names, and went to his spiritual father and said, "Dad, I have these 2 people below." The man already knew what he was going to do, but he just told him, "Okay, we're going to do something. Set up a mission work. Send the 2 of them to the mission work." He said, "Sir, he should not go." He said, "Send them." Of course, by the time the mission work was over for like 3 weeks, he already saw what must be done. And his ministry, I'm talking about someone that is on the global scene today. If he had married that girl, he would have gone wild. He would have died. Ministry would have ended. And he just took a pastoral figure, a father figure, to stop that madness. Sometimes, you never have the right perspective of a matter. You know, the Igbos have a proverb. And that is true. There are cases that you will never have the perspective of a father. You sometimes never. And that's why you need proper fathering. So 3 people you need in your life. You need a father figure. Secondly, you need loyal friends. Or at least a loyal friend. Every man needs at least 1 loyal friend. If you don't have a loyal friend, you are disadvantaged. You are disadvantaged. Glory to God. You know, in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 18, rather, from verse 24. It says, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly." He said, "But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." And that is forever true. There is a friend
that will stick closer than a brother. And you need a friend like that. And let me even give you an advice, if you're a guy listening to me. Don't be in a hurry to conclude. You know, I normally joke with ladies, and I say to them, every time someone is celebrating birthday, she is your bestie. You know, bestie, that's my bestie. How many besties do you have? You see, no sensible human being can have more than two friends in this world. Take it from me and never forget it. You will learn it later in life. You see, loyalty is proven with time. Time proves loyalty. You see, you need friends, who a friend that will be loyal to you. But don't be in a hurry to say that's a loyal friend. It could take time. It could take time to prove that that's a loyal friend. So you need a loyal friend. And in choosing loyal friends, give you a very straight advice. Follow the word of God. The Bible teaches we should not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. The Bible teaches we should not be close with a believer that is not strong to the spiritual life. So the guy must be spiritually strong. He must then, among all the believers and spiritually strong people, all of them are not your friends. You must choose loyal friends from there and give friendship time to prove itself. But you need loyal friends. You need loyal friends. There are times that you can be in difficult situations. It's only loyal friends that can save you out of those situations. And I want you to know that you need them. You don't know how, of course, you're going to live long in life, but you don't know who is going to die first. If you die first, it is the loyal friends that you've built now that will watch over your family when you are no more around. That are the people that your children will call uncles. And so if you are keeping useless people around your life now, you are raising uncles for your children already. The life they are living now are the things your kids will emulate tomorrow. So who are your friends? Choose, of course, have a lot of people around you, but over time, choose loyal friends. You need friends that you can call loyal. And it takes time. Of course, they must be born again. Of course, they must be growing spiritually. Of course, they must be committed to their spiritual life. Of course, they must have a spiritual father. But even among all these things, allow loyalty to prove itself. And loyal friends does not mean that you guys will not have issues. It doesn't mean they will not disappoint you once in a while. It just means that time has proven that they are loyal, that are going to stand with you through thick and thin. And let me even tell you something. One particular way to know loyal friends is when things are bad. When things go bad, there are people that I know. This we are streaming this, and I'm not saying this to hurt anybody. I'm just saying my mind. There are a lot of people that are running around me today. Oh, pastor, this. Oh, man of God, the Lord is using you. But actually, I keep them where I want them to be. Because there were days in this ministry where we were not always this place. And those people have known me all my life, and some of them never spoke to me for like 4 years of my life. But now the few things are looking up and are coming around. I'm not stupid. That's the truth. I'm not stupid. If you will not stick around when things are bad, you want to know loyalty? You know, some of you that say you're loyal to a pastor or you're loyal to a father, you don't even know if you're loyal yet. Until the man has a terrible scandal that the whole world is dragging him, that's where we can prove your loyalty. I didn't get the point. Until the man has the John chapter 6 experience where Jesus preached one message and everybody, the whole crowd left him. Everybody. The guy had more than 20,000 people following him. He preached one message. He said, until you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you are not all of them left. Only 12 remain. That's where you can prove your loyalty. Do you know, even before that time, there were 70 guys that had gone on mission and say, we saw Satan fall like lightning. When he preached that message, everybody left. Only 12 remained. Loyalty is proven with time. And so don't be in a hurry to say, oh, I have a loyal friend. That brother is loyal. Give it time. Give it time. Give it time. So you need loyal friends. Don't rush this. Don't rush this. Don't rush this. The third important person you need in your life, of course, is a good spouse. You need a good spouse. Brothers, you need a good spouse. A good wife. Hallelujah. And I don't know how much you need this. And that's why whenever we hold meetings for guys, I always emphasize and insist, don't, if you're not married yet, if you're married, congratulations, God bless you. If you're not married, don't be in a hurry to marry. Without taking the necessary into consideration. For instance, you must start from the word of God. Is the girl born again? Is she committed to church? And all and all and all. In fact, one advice I want to give you in marriage, I'll say three things. Number one, just summarily, follow the word. You want to get a good spouse? Follow the word. Secondly,
follow the leading of the Spirit in your heart. Thirdly, follow godly counsel. These three things. I've not said follow your heart. Your heart is important to somebody you love. But you see, these three things, follow the word of God, follow the leading of the Spirit, follow the godly counsels. Ignore these three things and you face anything you want to face. So what did the Bible say about a godly wife? Is she born again? Is she growing spiritually? Is she committed? Stop all this nonsense about church. I don't even like church girls again. I prefer, stop that nonsense. It's Satan talking through you. Satan, you love church girls and you should love church girls. Let me tell you, it's better that you are dating a mad believer. At least there's Holy Ghost in him. She can be helped. Than that you are dating a very wise unbeliever. The day Satan comes, nobody can help him or help her. And that's the truth. And so follow the word of God. Then follow the leading of the Spirit in your heart. Then follow godly counsel. That's why, you know, I'm not married. Okay? But you see, I can tell you this, take it to anywhere. I cannot marry anybody without properly asking my pastor, should I? If he says no, or if he just acts like, you see, I'm not going to carry a woman to come and present to my pastor and say, this is she that is to come. I won't do that. And if my pastor ever hears this, he will know that it is true. You see, I don't want to make a mistake in life. So I want to marry someone that the word of God recommends, the Spirit directs, and counsel directs or instructs. I'll marry the person. So, but you see, marrying a good spouse is one very shortcut to long life and prosperity. A bad wife is a shortcut to a short life. And I'm telling you, you will live your life regretting. You will live your life feeling bad. So, a good spouse. That's why some of you, you're in a relationship, or there's a girl you're running around. You've been seeing some bad signs, some things like that. See! The earlier you follow the leading of the Spirit in your heart, the better. So act fast. Follow God's leading in your heart. So three important people you need. You need a father figure. You need loyal friends. Or at least one loyal friend. One is fine. You know, I was talking to my pastor. You know, this last time I was with him, we had some conversation. And he was telling me about, you know, he said, don't keep many friends around. And I told him, well, I was almost going to talk to you about that, because it was part of what I planned to talk to him about. Because I don't even have many. I'm not somebody that you find in Pastors Ministerial Association. You can't find me all those pastors. I'm not in a hurry to build some contacts, some connections. I'm not in a hurry. And he said, when I told him, he said, you are in the right place. Don't be in a hurry to build many connects and many contacts, many relationships, many whatever. Don't be in a hurry. I would not say more about this. Maybe when we get to Man Up 2022, I would come back to these choices again and I will address this more specifically. Because don't be in a hurry to have many friends. You need loyal friends, so at least one in your life. At least one. That time has proven, that situations has proven, that circumstances have proven, that you've been down and the person was there. You've been struggling and the person is there. You need that friend. So you need a loyal friend. And then you need a good spouse. One good spouse is enough. You don't need to marry two. Just one is enough. And you'll be fine. Then I'll close with three commitments you must make as a man. Number one, you must make a commitment to your growth. And I'm talking about all-round growth. Never be a human being that has no commitment to his personal growth. You must commit to your growth. I'm talking about spiritual growth. I'm talking about career growth. I'm talking about your financial growth. Make a personal commitment to growth. You know, I see guys that you beg to study their Bible. They want to marry a spiritual sister because they don't want to pray. They want to marry a girl that can pray. You see, never be someone that we are begging you to pray. Make a personal commitment. I will start growing. Apart from what I do in church, I will take my growth personal. And I see, I took my growth personal early. Not because I was a pastor. I didn't even know I was going to be a pastor. But I wanted to grow. You know, I believe in something. I believe sometimes in being an extremist. If I'm going to grow spiritually, if I'm going to be a believer, I'm going to get to the end of being a believer. I'm going to find and learn everything. I started reading Christian books as at my secondary school. Buying expensive Christian materials and reading. Take take your growth personal. Apart from the motivation that pastor is giving you, take your growth. Make a personal commitment to your prayer life, personal commitment to your study life, personal commitment to your to growing. Minus all the motivations around. Because at the end of the day, your family will most probably be at your level spiritually. And in cases where you are not spiritual and it's your wife that is spiritual, spiritually it might be your wife running that home, not you again. I won't say more about that. Take your spiritual growth seriously. Take your career growth. How many books have you read in line with your career? You want to do business. How are you growing? How many courses are you taking? 2022 is a year to decide to move upward only. And how to decide that is pack books. If you don't know what to do, I'll direct you. I'll give you Christian books. I have many books. I have Christian books. I have business books. If you see my library, you will know. I have, you see, develop yourself. Make a personal commitment to growth. Take courses. Success is not accidental. It's not. You don't suddenly succeed. You don't suddenly become a success. Success has a process. So commit your personal growth as a man. What book are you reading? What courses are you taking? What new courses? You think you've gone to the climax because you are making some small change? You are getting $100, $200, $500. There is more. Build more capacity to take in more. Capacity to take in more. And that is, you know, I was telling my friends something, or some of my sons, I was discussing with them. I said, there are some professions, some people are broke. They're carpenters that are broke. But in reality, a carpenter is not meant to be broke. Why the carpenter is broke is that when carpentry or furniture making graduated from using hammer and nail to, you know, there are modern furniture works now, he did not move with them. He didn't take extra courses on it. He remained in knocking locker and seat for students. He will never progress. When carpentry moved to all these office tree and some of these things, he didn't move with them. He stayed back there. He will forever remain broke. You see, in your chosen area of life, there is always progress. Move with the trend. Move with the trend. So, do you have a personal commitment to your growth?
Hallelujah. Okay, sorry for that.
Do you have a personal commitment to your growth? You should have a personal commitment. Talk about finance. Where, what you are earning in December.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you still here?
Okay.
Are you still here? Wow. Glory to God. Praise God. Okay. What you are earning in December must not be the same thing you are going to earn in February.
What are you doing to grow financially? To grow in your career. What are you doing? What are you doing? And so grow. Personal commitment to growth, though. I'm committed to growth. And I say this to people, you can never, you know, I've been saying this thing for God knows how long.
Hallelujah.
And I went,
and I was with my pastor.
I made the same statement. And I laughed. He said, you can never find him at the same spot two times. And that is me forever. I can't be at the same spot.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, let's work with this. Hallelujah. So you power it up a little. Power it up a little. Glory to God. And so you make a personal commitment to your growth. Those following, can you hear me? Confirm that you are here. Confirm. Amen. So make a personal commitment to your growth.
financial growth, career growth, spiritual growth. Make a personal commitment to that forever. Glory to God. And so, number one, I said, commit to your growth. Spiritual growth, oh, financial growth, career growth. You cannot be here, or you cannot be following me, or you're under me, and there is no personal commitment to your growth. You don't know who you are following. You must be developing yourself. So how many career books have you read? How many finance materials have you read? How many more courses have you taken? Are you going for your master's next year? Are you taking extra courses next year? What are you doing? Commit to your personal growth. How many seminars are you going to attend? If there is a seminar holding, listen to me, friend. Don't be driven by this generation. If there is a seminar holding as far as South Africa, and you've confirmed that seminar will add to your life, travel for it. You're not doing anything wrong. Travel, attend it, 4 days, come back. You will come back stronger. I listened to a woman share something, you know. She's a lady that she owns a very big company. They produce, she said when they began to advise her to go for business school in Harvard Business School, she's doing well. For her to afford Harvard, she's doing very well financially. So she didn't see the point, said go to Harvard Business School, what for? Because she was already, her business was already going very far. She said, but they convinced her, and finally she enrolled for it. She said, in the first 1 month, she already saw that she was totally wrong. In less than one year, everywhere. You see, success is predictable. A wise man or two men, I've said this in church, we are given 10 years to cut down a big tree. One started immediately with his knife, trying to cut down the tree. The other one spent 9 years sharpening his knife, and he cut down the tree faster than the other one. His wisdom. Hallelujah. So commit to spiritual, to personal growth, spiritual growth, career growth. Secondly, commit to loyalty. I talked about you having loyal friends. I'm now challenging you to be a loyal person. Commit to loyalty. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, Proverbs chapter 20 verse 6, very powerful scripture that many men should think about. He said, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know, we've always heard of a virtuous woman who can find. This one is for men. A faithful man who can find. NLT said, many will say that they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? So are you a faithful friend? Are you a faithful? Are you committed to loyalty? Loyalty to your pastor. Some persons have not had one pastor for 5 years. In 5 years, they have 4 pastors. That's a problem, disloyalty. What happens when your pastor is hit by attacks? What are you going to do? What happens when your friend is hit? You know, something hits him, his business goes down, or they drag him. And sometimes they drag him and he even did it. What happens? That's when your life will be tested. Commit, be loyal to your friends. Be loyal to your father. Be loyal to your church. Be loyal to your family. To your family. You know, I had an issue. Let me not get into the details because of the details of that particular matter. But it hurts me. See, let me tell you, family is always family. No matter what, family is family. Your younger brother or your younger sister could be a very mad person on the street misbehaving, but never let go of family. Be there for family. The same goes for church. Be there for the church family. Be there for your spiritual father. Be there for your friends. Be a person that has a commitment to loyalty. So commit to your growth, commit to loyalty. And then thirdly, I'm going to say, commit to God personally. Now, I had to distinguish. God, Lord told me last night to emphasize this, and I'm going to close with it. Have a personal walk. The Lord said to me last night, he said, tell the guys that beyond just being a believer and going to church, I want them to have a personal walk with me. The Bible tells us that in the cool of the day, God may come down to talk to Adam in the garden. Bible said, Lord called the disciples to be with him. So have a personal walk with God. Commit to it. Your prayer life, your study life, commit to it. And you see, the first model of a personal walk with Jesus for me was my dad. I'm not saying this because my dad is perfect, but that's the truth. I told you guys in church on Sunday, I grew up seeing my dad wake up every 4 a.m. in the morning to do morning devotion. So the first model of prayer life or study life was him. I didn't understand it. The first Christian books I began to read, I got them from my dad's library. They had a book, a Christian library, big one. Have a personal growth, personal commitment with God, personal walk with God, commit to it, study life, prayer life. Have a, apart from the fact that I charge you in church, or that I do whatever in church, have a personal commitment with God. I like to have a personal walk with God. I grew up seeing my dad study the Bible. I grew up seeing him pray, and I'm trusting the Lord that my kids will also sit down one day to give this kind of testimony about me. And they grew up seeing me pray. They grew up seeing me study. I should have a personal walk with God. Above all, what we do in church, have a personal walk with God. I bring you wise counsels. Okay? Three very important things. Three things you must possess. Salvation, you must find Jesus. You must find something to live and to die for, and that is ministry. You must find clear direction for where you are going to in life. Don't wake up today and say you want to travel to Spain. Tomorrow you now want to live in Nigeria. Next tomorrow is Hungary you want to go to. What are you actually doing with your life? Have clear direction, and that can be found in the place of prayer. Three important people. You must have a father figure that you are very committed to. You must have loyal friends, or at least one loyal friend. You must have a good spouse. Three important commitments. Commit to your personal growth, all-round growth, spiritual growth, career growth, finance growth, character growth, character development. There was a character your friends complained about you in 2021. It is a new year we are about to step into. To change it, commit to growth. We can't say that this guy has anger issues in 2021. And 2022, we still say something about you. Commit to growing. They say you talk too much. They say you don't know how to keep secrets. You have a new opportunity to grow. To grow. Then thirdly, commit to loyalty. Be a loyal person. Prove yourself loyal. Don't always be someone that is in a hurry to leave friends when things go wrong. Be a loyal person. Don't always be a person that is in a hurry to turn your back at people when things go wrong. I'm a pastor and I've had my fair share of hurts from disloyalty. Disloyalty. Sometimes people hear things about you, they won't even wait to confirm it, they're already sharing it with people. So I heard that. That's a proof of a disloyal person. Let me tell you something about loyalty and honor. Loyalty chooses, or loyalty and honor, they choose the information to act on. You see, I'm loyal to friends. I can hear that they are stupid, but they also have small sense. I will act on the fact that they have small sense. I will not act on the fact that they're stupid. That's loyalty. That's loyalty. That's loyalty. It doesn't mean you sit down and you begin to condone what they do. It simply means that you are loyal to them. You are committed to them. You can correct them. If it's not somebody you can correct, you can pray for the person. But your loyalty is with the person. I see people go meet men of God. Ah, the Lord said I should follow you forever. Whoa, that guy is not loyal. Any small thing is off. You know when I wanted to start this ministry? Well, let me not go into those details. You can tell how many people that came to meet me. Say, the Lord said to me, I should join you. They're nowhere today. It's not because God didn't say to them. They don't have a character of proven loyalty. Third commitment, commit to God personally. Have a personal walk with God. Have a personal walk with God. Commonize it around you to say things like, the Lord said to me, the Lord stopped me from doing that. The Lord said to me, it was laid in my heart. Have a personal walk with God. Like a businessman in your career, just have a personal, effective walk with God, and you will be better, you will be stronger. Very important teaching, wise choices you must make. Hallelujah. And stick to these things, and I believe they've made you better. Hallelujah. Lift your voice wherever you are. Lift your hands. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for these ones in their homes, in this place, in their cars, in their offices, wherever they are following from. I pray you will not make foolish mistakes. You will make the right choices. You will not take foolish steps. The Lord will always be there to guide you, and you'll be wise enough to follow His leading and His guidance. And the places that you've been making mistakes, you've been confronted, you'll find the wisdom of God to correct yourself, and you walk in the path that you must follow. And I bring you into your golden days. In the name of Jesus, have a better life, I bless your 2022. It will come stronger and better for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget to reach out to me and let me know how this meeting has blessed you. Write to me, henonyedikachiministries@gmail.com. Let me hear how it has blessed you. God bless you. God bless you. I'll see you again. We'll have this meeting again. And God bless the leadership of this men's forum of Platform of Grace. Okay, till we come your way. Can I tell you, Man Up 2022 is going to be amazing. And I'd like you to really, really get set. Wherever you are, if you're a guy from all over the world, be set. We are going to bring some powerful teachings. That's something the Lord has showed me already for next year, but we are getting there. I'll revisit this teaching again in a more elaborate form next year. So get set, and God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.